Welcome to the AC Podcast. This is Terry Crosby.
Andy Steiger.
We are here today, two of us plus one.
We have a special guest joining us, my former intern. Spent a whole year working with me and he's still...
Wants
to come back. In fact, he was at the conference this last year. You've actually been at the conference every...
Yeah, I've been to the past two conferences.
Should probably say your name, John Rendell.
Yeah. My name's John.
Is this your first time on the show?
Yeah, I think this is my first time on the Apologetics Canada podcast.
It's good to have you, man. Yeah. So you would always watch me head off to go do the show, but...
Yeah, well, I think you guys were just
starting.
You didn't
allow him to participate?
Yeah, when I was here. I don't remember you guys regularly.
Yeah, that was back at the time where...
Your break time?
Yeah,
break
we would do them for a while and then grow weary of them. And then we'd stop for a while and people would be like, hey, are we going to do that podcast thing again? And we're like, oh, people are listening. Maybe we should do it again.
So, John, what do you do now?
Yeah, I'm currently working at a church in Surrey. I'm a director of youth and young adults. That's keeping me busy, having lots of fun.
That's great. And you are a dad now.
Yeah, new dad. So my wife and I just had our first little boy last June, so he's just going on 11 months and also keeps us very busy.
So you're in the full swing of life currently.
Yeah, man. It's I feel old.
You know why that is? Because you are.
That's right, man. I don't... Oh, man.
Welcome.
I took some youth
Just take
to,
a look at Terry. That's what's coming.
You don't have any gray in your beard yet, though.
Oh,
it's coming.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
be
it's coming.
I took some youth to a kind of a joint youth event in Surrey. And the worship, man, I thought I was going to have like an epileptic attack. I was like, is this what kids are into these days? It was like lights and smoke machines and everybody was jumping. And I was like, man, I just need to sit down.
Classic. I'm reminded of that when I'll reference a band or something and I just get blank stares from people. By the way, this happened just recently. I referenced the band Our Lady Peace.
Oh, nice.
And so you know which band I'm talking about.
They're actually going to be, are they going to be in Abbotsford?
Yeah, I think they're
this spring.
I think that's what brought it up is I saw that they were coming. And so I mentioned that to some young adults and just complete blank stare. Never heard of that. Thought the name was actually funny.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, yeah, that's right.
What about Quiet Riot?
This is what Terry feels like. Did you see that blank stare, Terry?
Totally blank. See, when I mentioned that, you have that blank stare. That goes way back to the 80s.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of fun facts.
Let's jump into that. I do. Sweden just made a startling confession about its famous meatballs.
You're already laughing and you haven't even said it yet. I don't even know if I want to know.
No, it's the official Twitter site of Sweden, Sweden SE. So this is legit.
Sweden has its own Twitter account.
And they shocked the Twitter world by announcing Swedish meatballs are actually based on a recipe King George XII brought back from Turkey in the early 18th century. People are going nuts.
That they actually didn't originate from Sweden.
Exactly. So when you go to IKEA and have those delicious meatballs, not Swedish. Some of the Twitter responses, my whole life was a lie. We are prepared to forget about this if you just give us Ibra Official. He's a soccer player, I guess. This is terrible and heartbreaking. The whole Swedish national image and economy are at risk. One guy says, darn you, IKEA. I want my money back. It's my grandma's recipe. These guys, all these comments about, they're quite funny. But people were shocked. They didn't know this, right? And they just, everybody just goes. And even people in Turkey were just basically saying, we love Swedish meatballs, you know. Now they're Turkish meatballs.
Just a classic case of cultural misappropriation. Once again. By Northern Europeans.
That's right. Just
unreal.
Okay, well, let's...
We've got an interesting show.
We do. This will be a very interesting topic and a very recent topic. Okay, before we start, we just want to give a warning that this podcast will deal with some mature subject matter. So if you have children listening right now, we'd probably recommend that they don't continue beyond this point.
I would definitely recommend that they don't.
Yes.
As we're going to say and talk about things that are not just sexual in nature, but deviously sexual in nature at times. So it's just the nature of what we're going to talk about. I do think, though, this is going to be worth listening to. These are some important things that we're going to talk about that, in fact, are good to know if you are a parent. But I don't think that this is something that you want your children to listen to. This was a topic that was brought to our attention by John, and I didn't know a whole lot about this topic. In fact, I'd never heard about it when John shouted out to us, which, by the way, just to say a word about that, a number of our listeners will write in and say, hey, listen, I noticed you guys haven't addressed this. And sometimes there's a reason. In fact, John had written, you know, I noticed you haven't addressed this, you know, are you going to? And he's like, well, actually, that had never even come up on our radar. I had never even seen this. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. And then I gave a shout out to John and just said, you know, John, why don't you just join us on the show and let's talk about this issue. Specifically, we want to talk about the issue of the man that killed 10 people in Toronto recently by running them down with a van.
Mm-hmm. And injured 14 others as well in the whole process.
Okay, so I mean that's how little I know about what happened. All I knew, I was on vacation when I read that this happened, and I didn't even read anything more into it. I just saw 10 dead guy, you know, drives into people, and I immediately brushed it off as a terrorist attack, which it was, and is being called a terrorist attack. However, I just assumed it was Islamic in nature, and just went on with my day. I mean, sadly, these sorts of things are coming to the place where they're just becoming everyday occurrences.
Yeah, somewhere in the world, it usually happens, you know, once a week, something like this.
Yeah, and so we tend to just kind of brush it off, which is exactly what I did. But then, so then John, I get your email, and you say, no, maybe you should look into this. There's a lot more going on. So start us off. What motivated this guy?
Yeah, you know, we don't know a lot about Alex Manassian yet. We don't know everything, but one of the things that the media is keyed in on and that's been drawn to our attention after the attack was this Facebook post that Alex Manassian put out right before the attack.
Very recent, yeah.
So this is what he posted. He said, Private Recruit Manassian Infantry 00010, wishing to speak to Sergeant 4chan, please. He wrote a bunch of numbers. The incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all the Chads and Stacys. All hail the Supreme Gentleman, Elliot Roger.
Now, when you first hear that, you might think, okay, this dude's a full-blown crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds like nonsense. But in fact, once you know the backstory, that in fact isn't nonsense. He's quite clearly articulating a specific worldview.
Well, and to be honest, I think one of the difficult things as we delve into this subject, into these online communities, is some of it is really funny, and even the communities themselves know it's funny. I think absurdity has become super popular on the internet right now. Everyone loves the absurd, so you get that in these online chat forums. And one of the things I've also just got written down here is, as we move forward, I think gauging sincerity when you're in an anonymous online chat forum is very difficult. So, you know, when someone's writing about an attack, are they just trolling? Are they in it? I think the RCMP has already responded to this where, you know, they're not going to be able to monitor websites like 4chan and Reddit to determine who's a threat and who's not moving forward. That would be incredibly difficult, probably impossible. And so that's part of this conversation as well. But I wanted to break down some of these.
So just to highlight that then.
Yeah.
You're saying there's a blurring of lines then from humor to actuality. Like this is how people, although they're couching this in humorous terminology perhaps, there's actually something significant going on here.
Yeah. I haven't spent a lot of time on the website 4chan. In the past year, I've been on Reddit a little bit more. I don't know if I can recommend anyone go on Reddit. It's kind of like a car accident. It's a bit hard to look away once you look at it. But what Reddit is it's an online chat forum. It's anonymous. Anyone can post, and there's a sort of democratic process of upvoting and downvoting what people write. And that makes things show up in more news feeds. Everyone's has these little communities. They're just usually it'll be reddit.com, and then there'll be an R and a slash, and that'll be the community. And so some of these communities have big presences on Reddit. The incel community, which we're going to talk about a little bit, but they're actually the main group on Reddit was banned earlier this year. So it is something that is being drawn to attention of some of these larger websites.
So the incel group was banned.
The largest and main one on Reddit.
There's another guy that killed people. I'm forgetting his name.
Elliot Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he mentions him in the post there.
That's right. And if I heard that if that name is even mentioned or written in Reddit, that post is immediately deleted.
Let's just go back a couple steps. In that post that you read, it mentions very specific things.
Yeah.
About his military. And then he mentions the incel rebellion.
So let me define some terms. Really quick on his military service. Apparently, he was in the military. His superior said that he was an average to below average recruit. And I guess he struggled there, especially in social situations, which I think is key.
Yeah.
And then went back to, I think, Seneca College in Ontario. So what did all these terms mean? It sounds like he's kind of speaking in this code language. So I just wanted to break down a few of those. Incel is this word used for involuntary celibacy. And so people who describe themselves as incel believe that they are celibate, not by their own choice, but because no one finds them attractive or no one wants to interact with them or no one wants to have a relationship with them. And so that's where they're coming with the term incel. It was a term coined in the 90s, actually, I think, in Toronto, but it's taken on a much darker tone now, especially on the internet.
At its root, and we'll get into this more, is just pure misogyny.
Yeah. Well, and so the belief, I think that the worldview that a lot of incels hold and the view of women is really steeped heavily in pornography, in a culture that really worships sex. And so they believe that most women are actually these sex-crazed, promiscuous, kind of conniving beings who are having lots of promiscuous sex with other people, but not with them. And it's because they've lost this genetic lottery that other people have won. And so they're forced to suffer. And I really believe, and you'll see this in a lot of their posts, but the worldview is very clear that sex is the highest goal we can attain in this life. And so if you're not having it, then what does your life mean? What's the purpose of your life?
And so he references that somewhat too in that quote. He said Chad's and Stacy's.
Yeah, so I just want to maybe preface this. It all sounds kind of funny and ridiculous. I mean, a lot of these guys are teenagers. They're young guys, young adults. Some of them are junior high and high school. And they got into this actually on a CBC podcast the other day, which I found very interesting. But this whole idea of lamenting virginity, you know, when you're 15 or 16 years old, which is really bizarre. I mean, it's just a bizarre, it's new. It hasn't always been like that. And this idea of, you know, I'm 15 and I'm not having promiscuous sex. What's wrong with me? And I just think that's such an indication of a culture that's just gone off the rails. And a lot of these young men have just such a twisted worldview.
I want to just pause there for a moment just to kind of hone in a little bit more on that twisted worldview before we continue. Because I think this is an aspect that people need to appreciate more, particularly parents, with regards to what's going on here in two ways. One is, yes, in one sense with these incels from what I'm reading is this frustration that they're not getting the sex that they believe that they're owed. But also is this very dehumanizing worldview of women to seeing them really as property, that the sexual revolution has freed women. Now they're able to choose who their sexual partner is going to be. They're choosing attractive men. And this isn't the way that the world should be, you know. Women should be more treated as property and given out to men, that they don't have to work to try to get these women, or they're not allowed to choose who they could go to. And so you really see on that one level then, the view of women is very low. But then you put the second piece is that, or you take into account the type of pornography that these people are watching. And I know that XXX Church and others have written on this for years, that pornography by and large is very dehumanizing towards women. And this is one of the reasons why we said, parents, a warning with regards to your kids listening. I forget the stat now, but XXX Church put this out a number of years ago. The vast majority of pornography in these videos that are being produced often end with men ejaculating on a woman's face and other horrific things that are being done that are very degrading and dehumanizing and really promotes that worldview of domination over females and that that's how they should be treated and viewed.
I think pornography in and of itself is dehumanizing. And as we, as human beings, get a high off of pornography, we get that residual high and we want something more. And so we crave something even more dehumanizing. And that's why I think with online pornography, we've just seen the prevalence of violence. You know, there's rape so often involved. I mean, just kind of disgusting.
So think about that. People are desiring to go and watch rape.
Yeah.
Through a pornographic website.
Yeah, and I think the other trends that we're seeing too is anything that's considered taboo or off limits, that's what people want to watch. So it's just getting darker and darker, and I think so many young men are subjected to this, and it totally twists their mind. I mean, we've seen it actually is changing the way their brain works, and then so many young women feel pressured to live up to this. For a lot of these men, it just seems like they have this belief system that the women they see in pornography, that is who women really are, which is really sad and disturbing, and I think one of the key parts of the problem. But just to touch on what you said as well, you know, there's an atheism at the bottom of this. I mean, this whole survival of the fittest thing. So
thinking, I saw that come up a number of times.
Thinking along the lines of, hey, you know, if I have the power to force a woman to do something, then it's right or it's okay because I am the stronger person in the position of more power. And so why are we letting women have all these freedoms when men could, if we wanted to, subject them to all this kind of stuff? That's some of the logic that comes up here.
I think this is a good place to jump back in because if you talk about the Chads and Stacys, I think we'll kind of highlight that.
Yeah, so what they mean when they use the word Chad is Chad is a promiscuous kind of womanizing man that is having sex with lots of women.
Good looking.
Multiple partners.
Muscular.
Yeah. Yeah, and so their idea of a person, of a man that has sex is somebody who's, you know, peak physical condition, won this kind of genetic lottery.
Evolutionary top of their game.
Totally. And that women are solely drawn to those men because of their appearance. Sometimes you hear a little bit of this idea that genetically superior people also get paid more or have more success in the workplace, so that leads to them making more money. And so whether I'm not good looking or I don't make very much money, it's because of my genetics. There's a determinism here, like a fatalism that runs through this as well, where whatever our genes are determines our life and how we're going to live. And we're meant to just kind of suffer the consequences of that.
I feel there's like a genetic disadvantage, right?
And it may be a little bit of a backlash to the American dream or the idea that in America you can go out and be whatever you want to be. And I think as children turn into youth, turn into young adults, you start to become jaded when you realize that, no, you can't be anything you want to be. Now, that doesn't mean that everything in your life comes down to your genetics. I mean,
but this is where the revolution comes in now. And I've seen this where they'll refer to themselves as beta. So they're not an alpha male. They're a beta male, but they are a part of a beta rising. So that they're going to now, if you will, work to overthrow this system that they feel subject to.
Yeah, and I think that's so counter to my generation and previous generations where I think our idea of a man and his life had a lot more to do with what was in his mind and what his will was determined to do rather than genetics. I mean, America is a country that loves somebody that conquers adversity. I mean, all the movies that we make are about people that conquer adversity. So this is countercultural in some ways to traditional thought, specifically with men. And I think you look in Hollywood movies, you often see men that aren't as attractive or aren't, you know, as successful or things like that. And they get the girl in the end. That's kind of been the fairy tale ending. Part of that, too, is a little bit insidious towards women. I think it's much more unlikely for them to cast a woman who doesn't fit their traditional beauty standards. It's more likely that they're going to cast a man. And you watch all these TV shows as well. I mean, my wife and I watched a show called Kevin Can Wait with, what's his name? Kevin, I forget, the big guy, Paul Blart, Mall Cop. Anyways, he is always with a beautiful woman. And he's this huge overweight guy, clumsy. It goes back to the Homer Simpsons, Peter Griffins, all these guys. So it's a bit countercultural in the way Americans have maybe traditionally thought that no matter who a guy is, he can get the girl in the end if he sets his mind to it and if he's lovable and these kind of things.
So this is just opposite.
Yeah,
this is. He references Eliot,
Elliot Rodgers.
Rodgers. And so he calls him a supreme gentleman. So there's a lot packed into this little.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, this topic, I mean, we could talk about a lot of things. There's so many angles to look at this. But one of the things about Elliot Rodgers, so he was actually the son of a Hollywood movie producer, I believe. He's either a writer or a producer. And his dad was actually working on the Hunger Games films. And so he lived in, I believe, Santa Barbara, California. And he carried out a shooting and kind of rampage in Isla Vista, California, and killed multiple people. I'm not sure on those numbers. But he recorded various videos, and just before he went on this attack, he recorded a very eerie video of him in a car just kind of saying he's going to have his revenge and his retribution.
And he's just asking questions like, why do you girls not like me?
Yeah.
Right?
And the revenge is very key there, because this is not just fate has done me wrong, but the society is evil and against me because I don't have sex with these women, and so I'm going to get my revenge on them. He's become a bit of a hero in the incel community. Alex Manassian shouted out to this guy before he did this attack. And Elliot Rodgers used to refer to himself as the supreme gentleman. That's kind of part of this idea as well, where it's like, hey, if I'm a nice guy, girls should like me. And if I'm kind of stick to these traditional views of chivalry and all that kind of stuff. And if they don't, then what's going on? What's wrong? Something wrong with the system. I think, too, something that people have struggled with for a long time is why do girls seem drawn to men who maybe are more aggressive, you know, the bad boys? I mean, I think that's always been kind of a stereotype. And so they're seeing men act like this who get the girls, and it's been very puzzling to them. So I think that's part of what creates their worldview as well. Just a quick note as well on what he meant by Stacy. Stacy is basically, you know, attractive women who they believe are very promiscuous and having promiscuous sex, and that's kind of what they live for. One other note I just want to make is I really believe that I think there's an element in pornography where we want to take the male sex drive or the male sexual desires and put them into a female. And so when she acts these things out in these videos, we want to see women with insatiable sexual desires. And I think we all know that that's very unrealistic to how women really are, how women participate in relationships. That's the belief that women are just kind of hiding their true selves. That comes up a lot in these guys' conversations. And part of it is that they haven't had a real relationship with a real woman. So they don't really understand what women are like. And I also think we don't give enough thought to how the pornographication of our culture has forced women to act or behave in certain ways. And that's something that XXX Church, I mean, Fight the New Drug, that's another organization that covers that a lot, but the pressures that a lot of young girls are facing. So,
yeah, you know, there's a number of other things to say here. One I think is interesting is there's a connection made between Marxism and incels. It's interesting with this correlation between incels and proletariat, chads and the bourgeoisie, and this need for a revolution that if you're looking for a way to, you know, maybe a different angle to understand this, this is what we're getting at here. And what this revolution entails at its core, though, and I think this is really key. It gets back to what I had said earlier is just misogyny. This is a profound hatred, actually, for women, which is interesting. At its core, you would think it's this lustful desire, but more what you see, and you see particularly in the post, is that its foundation is much more heinous. It's much more of a, like I had said earlier, a dehumanization, more of a property view of a woman, very much of a hatred. And when you couch it in that Marxist terminology, you kind of see that idea then more, you know, it's just kind of this disgust, if you will, that the bourgeois, you know, are getting what they want, and here the, you know, these other guys, that they're the repressed.
Yeah, I think one of the scary things about that as well, and you know, is the idea that there needs to be a violent uprising if you're going to overthrow a system that's oppressing you. And we don't know if there's going to be more attacks like this. I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody wrote, you know, in one of these chat forums that, you know, the attacks are just going to keep happening for all of time. And I think that is a reality of our world, whether it's incels or it's Islamic terrorism or it's economic terror, you know, whatever people have a problem with, we're going to see attacks.
And I think that's an important point to bring up, because I saw on another post that somebody had put that they were praising this guy that he used a car. And they were doing so because they said, listen, if you used a gun, then everybody's just going to say, look, guns are dangerous and you got to get rid of guns. But they were praising him for using a car, because they were basically saying, listen, hatred is just hatred. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't saying this is a negative thing. This was a positive thing. This is a hatred towards women. And that's the key going on here. And that this isn't a gun issue. You know, and good luck on banning cars. But basically, you talk about the crux of sin and evil in the human heart. Mm-hmm. You know, because oftentimes you'll often see in the United States, oh, we gotta ban guns, because if we can do that, then the killing will stop. It's like, I totally hear what you're saying, where there needs to be gun control. There's no doubt about that. But we're dealing with a sin issue here. It reminds me of China, by the way, where they don't have access to guns, but they have access to knives, and you'll get large-scale knifing attacks. You know, like mm-hmm. people kill people. At the heart of this is, in fact, hatred. At the heart of this is a sin issue, is evil, and it's...
Yeah. I mean, a quick note on the van attack, because I've noticed the media doesn't totally know how to handle this story, and part of it is maybe because they're on a bit of crusade against guns right now, and this doesn't fit that narrative. And so it's kind of, how do we cover this? And then I think also...
Very little is being covered about it.
Yeah. And like we've talked about, as we're talking about incels, there's a lot of nuance to it. There's a lot that needs to be said. And so it's hard to cover that as well in a, you know, in a quick media clip. So that's been part of the problem. Just want to note what you were talking about, the misogyny at the heart of this. Part of it comes back to this kind of classic... You know, a guy likes a high school cheerleader and he wants to be with her, but because she doesn't want to be with him, his like turns to hatred. You know, I hate her now because she's rejected me, spurned me. I also think that as we subject ourselves to dehumanizing media, specifically pornography, but even in other parts of the media, I don't know if you can dehumanize someone and love them at the same time. And so if you are constantly dehumanizing people and seeing a dehumanized version of them, you are not going to have love for them. You're just going to continue to dehumanize them. And I think that's what we're seeing.
You will objectify them.
Yeah, with a lot of young men. And the problem at the root of a lot of relationships, because, you know, I do believe that there are a lot of men out there that want to be in maybe a relationship where they're loving and all that kind of stuff. But really struggle with that because, you know, I'm drawn to dehumanize this person. And dehumanization...
They might not even know this. Let's imagine you got an individual that they are consuming pornography. They have no idea how this is shaping their worldview and how this is subtly affecting the way that they're treating women. Now, we're dealing with an extreme case with the incels here. But, and I think is what you're saying, John, anybody who's watching this stuff, this is affecting your worldview, and it is shaping the way that you view women specifically. Mm-hmm. And in particular, it is creating a worldview in you in which you are dehumanizing your spouse, girlfriend, women in general, mm-hmm. if you are participating in this.
And their appropriate response is violence.
Yeah, well,
from that.
I think too, even outside of pornography, I think you look at rap music now and you got these artists that are getting younger and younger and their videos are trending on YouTube and they're just disgusting. I mean, oftentimes you're not even seeing the faces of these women in these videos. You're just seeing, you know, usually they're just wearing like bikinis and you're just seeing either, you know, their chest or their bottom. And it's just, it's so, yeah, dehumanizing is the best word. And so young men are being taught, and this kind of clicks into where these incels are coming, because there's another huge online community called the Red Pill community, and that's basically out of the seduction or pickup artist movement. But there's so much morality actually being taught by these people and philosophy.
Tell me a little bit more about this Red Pill one.
Yeah, so they're
I've
using
never heard of that.
They're using the term the Red Pill from the Matrix, which I love. the Matrix, so it makes me upset that they're hijacking my good Matrix analogies. But basically, they're saying, you know, I've taken the red pill and realized that women are conniving and mischievous and promiscuous. So here's all the tips on how to take advantage of them, how to bully them, how to seduce them, how to get rid of them. And this stuff is celebrated. I mean, the more cold you are to women, the more celebrated. And there's hundreds of thousands of people in these communities viewing this kind of stuff. And they're not even really hiding what they believe. Most of their terms are described. You can read, they even have manifestos and things like this. So this is, you know, how to basically seduce and use women and throw them away. And
literally objectify them.
Totally, yeah. And lots of tips as well, how to not get drawn into any sort of commitment in a relationship, how to...
You know, this really shouldn't surprise us, should it? With all that we've been seeing with the whole Me Too thing.
Yeah.
What we've been seeing in Hollywood recently with Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. I mean, what this guy's been doing for years to women. This isn't new by any stretch. I mean, one place I was reading online was talking about how misogyny is probably the oldest hatred we know.
Yeah.
That's a sad reality of the brokenness of humanity. But in many ways, it shouldn't surprise us. However, I think what does surprise us is the forms in which it's coming, that people, such as rap music and other ways, that people are subtly seduced into without knowing.
The disturbing part about reading the Red Pill community is it's systematic. I think the systematic laying out of how to take advantage of anyone is disturbing, and that it would be so celebrated and all that kind of stuff. There's a backlash in most of these communities as well against feminism, and I would say modern feminism. I think feminism is a word that's, you guys probably know this as well, very complicated right. to determine what somebody means when they use that word. But that's coming up a lot as well, and I think as we saw third wave feminism happen, and as we see a lot of women say, liberation is me, you know, taking off my clothes and all this kind of stuff. And you see this with a lot of pop stars and stuff like that. And so there's a bit of a hypocrisy, I think, detected by some of these communities in feminism.
Well, this is one of the sad realities of feminism is that, you know, Michael Polanyi talks about how you have this thing called the moral inversion, where something can start out positive.
Mm-hmm.
And with feminism, you see that. I mean, yes, women should be allowed to vote and various other things that they fought for,
mm-hmm.
and for good reason. And where you can have something, though, that starts out positive, it's utopic in its beginnings, but becomes dystopic, right? And as it begins to turn back on itself. And that's what I've seen particularly with feminism,
mm-hmm.
is a complete turning back. And from what started out as very positive has now really lashed back on itself.
Yeah, I think one of my friends, she was in a feminism class at her university. And, you know, I remember her telling me that just that the prof was telling them how important they are, that they're valued, that they're worth, you know, so much, and not to let men mistreat them. But also, if they want to be prostitutes, that's their choice. To me, that's such a clash of an argument. I think even if someone is paying you to dehumanize yourself or to be dehumanized, you're still being dehumanized. And I think as believers, you know, we believe people created in the image of God should never be dehumanized. And so we are always against even people who are willing to subject themselves to dehumanization. I think is something that we're going to speak against, and we want to. And so I think that's part of the problem too. They see women willingly dehumanizing themselves. And so they think, you know, this is the way women really are. And any woman, I think, that becomes a prostitute or participates in pornography, I think it's a lot more complicated than just getting a paycheck or anything like that.
And celebrating her freedom.
Yeah, it's complicated. And I think it's often really horrific and sad backstories. But this is kind of where these guys are coming from and their reaction against that. I just want to expand really quick. So we talked about the red pill, but these guys have this idea, incels in particular, of the black pill. And the black pill is basically, it's basically nihilism. So the red pill is waking up to, here's how to use women and take advantage of them and get the things that you want. And being a nice guy doesn't work out. And so this is what you need to do if you want to achieve your goals, specifically with having sex with women. The black pill is when you wake up to the fact that for you, that's never going to work out because, you know, you don't look good or you're not attractive or those kind of things. And so you're doomed to be alone forever and you should probably just kill yourself or do a violent attack, which is what a lot of these guys say. You know, there's a lot of violence and there's hatred here. They are constantly dwelling on this forever loneliness. Nothing's ever going to get better. I think part of it too is when we start to think these kind of thoughts and when we believe that we are constantly going to fail, it shapes our behaviors and the way we live our lives.
And that the world is meaningless anyways.
Yeah. So if you believe that all women hate you, you're never going to be able to get in a relationship with a woman because as soon as you approach her, it's, oh, she hates me, all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, with a lot of these guys, already defense mechanisms are coming up to push people away and to just, I just want to wallow in my despair. I just want to say really quick, I think at the base of this is nihilism. And that's come out of an atheistic culture that worships sex, that has gone off the rails in so many ways. And I really believe that the gospel is the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
When we explain to people that they're created in the image of God, there's so much freedom from these kind of shackles. I just want to encourage anybody out there. I mean, if you are struggling with addiction to pornography or things like that, get any kind of help you can get. Talk to your pastors, talk to maybe a counselor or psychiatrist. Start taking these steps.
Can I just add something there too?
Yeah.
Even if you don't struggle with those things, I would still encourage you to seek out ways to protect yourself so that you don't. And in particular for you parents, you fathers, that you're safeguarding your children. So my house, all my devices have Covenant Eyes placed on them. Every device I own. And I'm sure I'm going to have to step it up a notch and secure my Wi-Fi so when my kids bring their friends over, that they're not accessing things. But I want to do the best I can as a parent, as a husband, as a man, to safeguard myself.
Yeah, I really want to recommend a device called The Circle, if you've ever heard of it before.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
It's a great thing about that. One last thing, I just think as Christians, we need to talk about women as valued human beings created in the image of God. And that's very much a priority because our society is pushing against that. And lastly, we need to see everybody as created human beings in the image of God. There's an undercurrent here. You see a lot of these men struggle with social skills. Probably Alex Manassian was somewhere on the autism spectrum. And as a Christian community, we cannot value people with social skills higher than other people. And so we need to ask, hey, if someone's not as socially gifted, how do I love them? How do I treat them with respect? How do I help them maybe if they have social anxieties or things like that to get in a community and to form real relationship? And I think the same goes with looks as well. I mean, if we need to value people no matter what they look like because they're created in the image of God.
I think we'll wrap up there today. Thank you, John. We can sure hear the pastor's heart coming through there in the last wrap-up session there. This was a horrible incident that happened in Toronto, and we just want to send out our condolences to the families that were affected there. Lots to deal with in weeks to come. Thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll be back next week with more things to think about.